This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Steelers are in the dark. Isn't that a funny way to put it when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and his decision? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get back to the Sweet 16 in just a moment because you had some fun games last night, Pearl. But, you know, this Rodgers story had a little bit of an update yesterday, and now there's a kind of a theory. I wouldn't say it rises to the level of conspiracy theory, but there is a theory about Rodgers in Pittsburgh, and I want you to get to that in a moment. Yeah. But Tom Pelissero was on our pal Jim Rome. He's on the Jim Rome show yesterday and had a lot to say about what's going on with Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So let's hear from Pelissero from NFL Network. First, he said that whole Rodgers being in the facility for 6 hours a couple weeks ago, it turns out Rodgers invited himself.
Aaron basically invited himself on a visit late last week. He was in the building for several hours. He watched tape with the coaches.
Yeah, and in fact, the entire Pittsburgh Steelers coaching contingent skipped the Michigan Pro Day, which apparently they're staples at every single year, and why not? Michigan's sending a lot of guys to the pros now. They skipped the whole Pro Day just to accommodate Aaron Rodgers, but then he left without a contract. Okay, more from Pelissero. There actually is the framework of a contract in place.
This deal, Jim, has been in place contract-wise for weeks. They've discussed parameters. This is not going to be a financial issue at all for Aaron Rodgers. If it gets done, it's going to be a one-year deal, and he's going to be in there and, you know, taking a shot at age 41 to show that he can muster one more miraculous run, not unlike Brett Favre did back in 09 when he ended up in Minnesota.
Okay, more from Tom Pelissero. Now, because of other dominoes that have fallen, the Steelers are the only option for Rodgers.
At this point, right now, sitting here in late March, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the only opportunity that Aaron has. The Giants were certainly interested in it. I never got the sense that Aaron was as interested in the Giants. They ultimately end up pivoting and sign Russell Wilson.
Okay, well, what about that whole Vikings thing? Well, Pelissero has an update on that as well.
Aaron had a high degree of interest in going to Minnesota. In my opinion, or based upon what I know, I think that the way that this was, you know, reported in some corners and the rumors were somewhat overblown. This was not like they were all in and getting to sign Aaron Rodgers and then something went sideways and they changed their mind. It was always a long shot in Minnesota because they have a high degree of belief that J.J. McCarthy is going to be the guy.
Last one here from Tom from NFL Network on the Jim Rome show yesterday says Rodgers is in Steelers or wait mode.
This is Pittsburgh or wait? for Aaron Rodgers. I don't know that it would be retire. It's probably Pittsburgh or wait. Pittsburgh seems like they're in the driver's seat. I wouldn't be surprised if we get an answer by the end of this week. But, you know, quite frankly, Jim, I thought we were going to have an answer by the end of last week.
So kind of interesting here. First of all, not that I'm disagreeing with Tom about this one aspect. I don't think that the Steelers really have the leverage here. Who's the other option at quarterback? Like draft someone at 21 or in the second round? They need Rodgers. To me, I feel like Rodgers actually has the leverage.
Yeah, I'm not sure I heard Tom say that the Steelers have leverage over him. I mean, he did say this is the only opportunity, but I believe he said that Rodgers could wait. I mean, there's no doubt the Steelers want him, right?
Right, right. But that he just said that, like, that was the last clip we played, right? That the Steelers kind of are the ones who are in the driver's seat here. I don't see
it
that way.
Well, he said that the only destination, but he didn't rule out that Rodgers will wait.
Right,
or just retire.
Well, but he never said retire.
Yeah, yeah.
He said mostly just wait. I think Rodgers definitely wants to play. Again, he, you know, Tom also said, listen, it could be there's Cleveland out there, there's Tennessee out there as far as really jobs that are like literally open right now before the draft, but he didn't get the sense that Rodgers wanted to go to either of those places.
Well, Tennessee is unlikely because he'll probably draft Cam Ward number one. Cleveland has never been linked to Rodgers for whatever reason. You know, I don't even think there's a matter of leverage here. It seems like they've agreed on the money. Now it's just, does Aaron want to play? It doesn't seem like there's any negotiating going on. And I agree with you. I don't think he wants to wait. I think he wants to play. I think he's signing with the Steelers.
So I guess the question is then, why the wait, right? Like even Cam Hayward was like, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Now, a new theory has emerged. I thought that it was going to be Rodgers wanting to wait till after the draft. I think he saw what happened with Kirk Cousins last year. Cousins goes to Atlanta, signed a big deal, thought he was the guy. And then lo and behold, the team falls in love with Michael Penix. And all of a sudden, your second fiddle. Now, Cousins still started the majority of the season, but felt like he had to play through an injury. And, you know, everyone was just sort of waiting for the moment when Penix was going to take the helm. I was wondering if Rodgers wanted to wait till after the draft to say, all right, what is the actual quarterback room I'm walking into?
Because
you can say
a
lot of things before the fact. But if Pittsburgh, let's say somehow Shedeur Sanders is sitting there at 21. Well, now I went from I'm the guy in Pittsburgh and I'm going to try to find magic in 1 year to I'm the mentor and keeping the seat warm for Shedeur. It's a very different role.
Absolutely. And Shedeur is older, too. So that would be a bit of a problem, just like Penix was in Atlanta. Now, so the draft is April 27th, you said, right? The first workout for the Steelers is April 21st. That is a soft deadline that everyone's talking about for Rodgers. And Rodgers can't come late to the Steelers. It's not his system. He needs to get in there and start working. So I don't think he can wait for the draft. And that's also a month. Like, the Steelers are not going to wait a month.
Well, who else do they have? Like, you know, I know you love Flacco and Carson Wentz and all that, but like, that's not, to me, that's not going to get you where you need
Flacco,
to go.
I think Flacco, ironically, is an upgrade from last year. I think he would ball out in a Joe Flacco kind of way.
Is he 43? I mean, how old is he?
He's 40. He's younger than you think. He's younger than Rodgers by 2 years, I think.
Interesting. Okay, you have a theory now.
Oh, it's not my theory. Mike Florio floated this. A lot of people float this. There's an event April 9th at PPG Paints Arena, Pat McAfee live show in Pittsburgh. According to Florio, we know how Aaron Rodgers likes publicity, that he might be waiting for that night to let the world know that he is a Pittsburgh Steeler. Because, you know, he appears every Tuesday on McAfee. McAfee is a pro wrestling announcer as well. It just feels like a WWE move to have Rodgers saunter out onto stage with all his good buddies up there, AJ Hawk, Pat McAfee.
My dog.
Wearing a Steelers jersey.
Wow. So paint the picture for you. In Pittsburgh, all of a sudden, McAfee show's doing a live show. And then do they do the breaking glass? Do they do the Stone Cold entrance? I mean, Rodgers wants to be the hero, not the heel. So I'll defer to EJ on this one. Who do they come out to? What? Cult of Personality? Is this a CM Punk entrance? Is it John Cena? Is it?
Rodgers kind of looks like CM Punk. And in some ways, I've heard people say that he kind of is a CM Punk of the NFL. Like,
I've heard he is a punk.
that he's kind of an enigma, which Punk is as well. I mean, if he wants to be a pure babyface, you come out to Kingdom by you know, with Cody Rhodes. Just come out, you're the American Nightmare.
No, Aaron Rodgers is beyond being a pure babyface.
But maybe
that
just
will not sell.
To this crowd, he better be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe this is the rehab tour, you know, the image rehab tour where he reinvents himself as the good guy in Pittsburgh or not. I don't know.
I don't think the Steelers want. They had the good guy in Russ last year in Fields. They probably want a heel.
Oh, maybe.
I think they want. I think they want. Edgy Aaron Rodgers, maybe, believe it or not, because they're so sick of, they have a nice guy, like they want something different. I think they wouldn't mind if he came out brash Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but at the same
not
time.
Not one, not two, three Super Bowl derby.
Oh, he's going to do the Heatles to LeBron?
I don't honestly think you need to sell Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh fans, we found that out the hard way this week. They are hungry for something completely different.
It would be something. All of a sudden, McAfee and his cohorts talking in Pittsburgh, and then you just hear this. Do you get JR? By God, it's Aaron Rodgers' music. Do you do the whole thing, and he comes out wearing what?
Austin 316.
I was going to say, is he going to wear 8, probably 12? I don't know what's available.
What number he would wear? Well, he should wear 16. He was going to do Stone Cold Steve Austin.
But by the way, what do we know about Aaron Rodgers and music? What is the concert that we always see?
Terry Bradshaw wears 12. He can't.
Oh, yeah, Taylor Swift. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, is he going to have some song about an ex-boyfriend come up? I don't know what's a Taylor Swift song.
Oh, you think he's going to come out to Taylor?
He loves Taylor Swift. He's always, like, that's the only time I've ever seen him at a music concert.
That's so fascinating. He's so, I don't know.
He's weird.
But, you know, honestly, the big entrance could be good because I bet, and I'd love to hear from Steeler fans at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4776. You might need a little showmanship to get people really excited because he's kind of been toying around with them a little bit, making people wait. He doesn't seem like he's so gung-ho, like running to. Now, he did ask for the tour of the facility, and he, according to Tom Pelissero, he's the one who invited himself to the facility, so that's good. But maybe they want a big entrance to kind of get people really excited, because I bet there's a lot of people in Pittsburgh who are thinking to themselves, we're doing 40-year-old Rodgers now?
I've seen that. I feel like the fan base that...
Split, right?
Yeah, they definitely don't seem all gung-ho about this.
That's weird. I would be fine. If I was a Steelers fan, after what we had last year, I would be thrilled about Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, they watched the Jets go in there and just get destroyed by the Steelers, led by Aaron Rodgers. I keep going back to that. If it was my team and we beat that guy on the Jets, and then now you're going to say he's going to be our quarterback. I know I had Russ and Fields, but I would be like, we just destroyed them. Why do we need him?
Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers was a different guy later in the season. I think that's what everyone's thinking. Like, he was hurt.
And you're also telling yourself our team's better than that Jets team. Like, we were a more complete team, and their coach sucked, and our coach is great, and, you know, all that.
Well, that is a stretch. If they think that this is a better offensive coach, I mean, I'm worried about the Arthur Smith of it all. That is going to be a tough marriage.
Did you see, by the way, I don't know if in Friday the drop, but I think it was Schefter or somebody was saying that Rodgers actually he's very fond of Arthur Smith. Oh, it's actually, I think it was Connor Hughes who said
you better knuckle up.
Because Arthur Smith was one of the guys that the Jets wanted to be the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And apparently Rodgers was very in favor of that.
Even with Nathaniel Hackett, his bro?
Yes, apparently. This was a report I read yesterday.
Yeah.
So that the Jets were going to bring him in. Rodgers had signed off on that. And now, obviously, that never happened, but we say, why would Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers be a mix? But according to a Jets reporter, that Rodgers actually thinks highly of him.
And why would you want an offensive coordinator that Aaron Rodgers liked, by the way?
Great point. Again, I don't think he should play anywhere. I agree.
But also, Rodgers loves Tomlin, right? That's a bromance for the ages,
the
is what everyone keeps saying.
I know, but Rodgers loved Bill Belichick and Tomlin. They played against each other in a Super Bowl. I get that. I think that there's one thing about respecting and loving a guy from afar, and then it's different to work with him every day. I think they're going to be fine when this eventually does happen.
Tomlin's fine with everybody. There's no chance of that. Has Tomlin blown up with a player like that?
Not probably a quarterback, but definitely some skill position players.
He put up with AB for 8 years.
And then told him to hit the bricks. But I
After who knows what insanity for almost a decade.
He, like, no-showed a playoff game.
I know. I'm just saying, correctly. Tomlin is very patient. If he could deal with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell for as long as he did, Aaron Rodgers is not a concern.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
I don't fear sudden death.
So you've got... The Rodgers, a theory that he's going to make some big grand entrance at a Pat McAfee live show on what was the date?
April 9th.
Also, here's a question about that. I get the theater of it all and the WWE-ification of our life and all of that, and everything's about the show and the show and the show.
Exclamation point.
41-year-old Rogers, worth that? It's kind of like going big on like your third marriage. You know, when you get to the third marriage, do you really wear the big white dress? You know, do you do the big wedding? Do you do the garter belt? You know, are we doing the big cake? Like, you get to the third wedding, sometimes it's like a little more understated, right? Like, maybe you're just kind of destination. Maybe you're going down to the courthouse. Maybe it's a couple friends and family or at a nice restaurant. You know, this kind of feels like your third wedding, and all of a sudden you're going bigger than before. Smoke machine, DJ.
Yeah, we understand what you're saying.
Okay. Can I drive the point home anymore?
Yes.
By the way, anti-wedding garter. Let's just ban that. That's
I think
weird.
That's old. I don't think people are
yes,
doing
please,
that anymore.
Let's not do that anymore. I'm not doing that.
I didn't do that.
I think you're dead wrong. Aaron Rodgers goes to a high-profile team like the Steelers. Boom. Five primetime games immediately. I think that's... They're the team. They're the single most interesting team in the NFL. If Aaron Rodgers there, does anyone disagree with that?
But would you have said that about the Vikings? Is that just anywhere that Rodgers lands?
No, particularly this. The Steelers are wildly popular. I would say probably the third or fourth most popular team in the NFL.
I think you could say second. I think they're right behind the Dallas Cowboys.
I think the Packers are in that mix. There's a lot of Packers fans. Yeah, they might be second. If you put Aaron Rodgers there, just like the Jets became incredibly interesting when Aaron Rodgers was there, and now the Jets are going back to nationally not very interesting.
Well, that's true. 888-710-4ISN. Probably better for the Jets to be a little under the radar, to be honest. 888-710-4476. Mm-hmm. When they got all the spotlight on them, it generally doesn't work well.
Yeah, I bet you they get maybe one primetime game this year, where with Rodgers, I'm sure they were five.
They'll get a Thursday game. Probably against Buffalo. Or New England.
Well, you know who I heard people saying, why not the Jets?
What?
Fields go back, Fields versus Steelers.
Oh, that could be a fun primetime.
Rodgers versus the Jets. Could you have Monday night?
I don't know. Our friend Ani Bose, who helped set the schedule, is Rodgers going to sign before the schedule, which is in early May?
That's the question.
You don't want to have a Mason Rudolph, Justin Fields primetime
battle.
That's
the problem. Yeah.
You got to flex that immediately. Oh,
you mean Roger Goodell wouldn't want that?
I know Al Michaels wouldn't want that.
I was going to say, can they put it in Spain? 888-710-4ISN.
Here we go.
888-710-4476. All right, Aaron Rodgers, Steeler, do you like if he's going to do some big theatrical entrance? I don't know. This age?
What is that?
A little tacky.
By the way, I think actually another interesting question. Do you think he signs for the Steelers? I think everybody thinks it's happening. Does anyone not think he's going to play in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I have a theory about this. And it goes back to our friend Andrea in the Bay Area, who's an astrologer. Mm-hmm. I think Aaron is into numerology. Mm-hmm. I think he's into some hippity-dippity stuff. And Mercury is in retrograde until April 7th. Andrea
totally
told
fine.
Us. It said, and what did she say about Mercury in retrograde? If you're into this kind of thing, mm-hmm. you don't negotiate contracts or sign contracts. Mm-hmm. She also said something about travel, but don't negotiate contracts when Mercury is in retrograde. I think Rogers believes that crap. I mean stuff.
Yeah, crap, man.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I believe it too. I'm sorry. I'll believe anything.
Well. He's going to sign April 9th, and Maggie's going to swear till the end of the time that he did it for this. Even if he says 100 times that had nothing to do with it, you will not.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to say it.
Once you get a hold of a theory like this, you will not let it go.
Well, you know, some of us ride or die with these things, and others.
Andrea, no. Maggie, probably Aaron Rodgers.
I think that's good company. 888-710-4ISN. Okay, so much more to do. We've got Deion Sanders stuff for you. He was talking yesterday. Perloff goes against the grain today. And we have still more fallout of the LeBron James Stephen A. Smith tete-a-tete. LeBron goes on, again, Pat McAfee show. And Stephen A. responded and looked like a fool. 888-710-4ISN.
Will?
This NASCAR preview is sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. All right, Manny, what do we got on tap this weekend?
We've got some short track racing, Pearl, for the Cup Series. The circuit is at the Paperclip. It's the Cookout 400 at Martinsville. Some fun racing last weekend at Homestead, Miami. I actually caught the last 60 or so laps. Bubba Wallace was leading the race at that point. He would finish in third place behind Alex Bowman and the winner, Kyle Larson, in the number 5 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet. Guys, we got the Cookout 400 from Martinsville Speedway, the Green Flag Wave, Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Wow. Nailed it. I hope Sydney Sweeney is out there on the airwaves listening to this. Maybe, possibly, not with her fiance anymore, and Manny is available.
I'll meet you at that half-mile track girl in Virginia.
Man, wouldn't that be something if it turned out deep down she was some kind of diehard NASCAR fan and kept listening to Manny's awesome updates. Manny Tires.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. You know what I mean?
I mean, it'd be the upset of the century. But let's keep hope alive.
The upset of the century. Wow.
I said she's a NASCAR fan. She shows no proclivities towards sports as far as we know.
She grew up watching Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson.
No, I mean, maybe. It'd be the upset of the century if she...
That's not what I said. I meant if she was a big racing fan.
It would be. Come in, man, even you would admit.
What you trying to say, Pearl?
I mean, Sydney Sweeney, I assume her next boyfriend is going to be one of the most famous people on planet Earth.
Yeah, your boy.
But listen, sometimes...
And all I got to go do is go viral or something.
Manny's got a national platform. I think sometimes really famous people like to also date, you know, people who are not as famous as them.
Right. Julia Roberts married somebody who was in the tech crew.
Sure.
Possible. Well, first of all, you have to get around Sydney Sweeney. Can you PA on a Sydney Sweeney movie or something?
Probably not.
Yeah. You're overqualified for that.
I could probably just run into her. We're in Manhattan.
Yeah, I had a celebrity sighting yesterday.
Yeah, I think I saw Keenan Thompson like 2 weeks
ago. Wait,
I know.
You always see the same person. It's always Juwan Howard.
No, Juwan Howard I have not seen a lot lately. And you can see him from a mile away because he's 6'10".
Boomer Esiason is
my guess. No, this is a woman who's also quite attractive.
Here or in Brooklyn?
In Brooklyn. Not available. She is married to somebody that many of us are fans of.
Beyonce.
Hey, if I saw Beyonce, I would have called you guys immediately.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Do people see Beyonce? I don't think that's somebody you see.
She's not out of the street.
No way.
She's not just walking around.
I could give you...
Is she an actor?
She's an actress, yes. I'll give you a couple movies and see. Edge of Tomorrow?
Never heard of it.
Mary Poppins?
Never heard of it.
Oh, what's her face?
Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah, Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt on the street.
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Isn't that Mrs. Jim Halpert?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, would you look at that?
Yeah, John Krasinski. Yeah, I guess they live near me, so I saw them on the street. Yeah.
I think I saw Anne Hathaway. I was about to say, saw Anne Hathaway?
Well,
you didn't tell me?
Anne Hathaway lived across the street. My wife had, when Lucy was a baby, got stuck waiting for an elevator with Anne Hathaway. She said, call me Annie. Sweetest neighbor ever.
Wow.
Of course, she's a perfect person. Yeah, she's trying to tell you guys.
She's all over New York City. You can run. Anne Hathaway is a person of the people.
I thought she'd be in Philadelphia because she's such a big Eagles fan.
That was a good catch for the Eagles fans.
You can see her in the city. Oh yeah, like this is such a small place that I'm going to run into Annie.
Yeah, I'm just going to hang out, you know, where Wu-Tang hung out in Staten Island.
Yeah, the Shaolin Projects. Yeah, I don't think you're going to see Annie there.
I'm sure Annie's going to pull up at some point.
I said New York City, not Staten Island.
Yeah, different world over there. Anyway, that's our New York Minute for you. Mike is in Texas, more importantly. Mike, you're a Steeler fan in Texas. You do not want Aaron Rodgers.
I do not want Aaron Rodgers. With the way things have developed, we've played ourselves trying to be cute. I would feel better going off with Mason Rudolph, and the reason I say that is, yeah, he was a debacle in Tennessee, but who hasn't been a debacle in Tennessee? He's familiar with the system. Mm-hmm. He's never really had a chance to be a starter. When he did come in and mop up roles at Pittsburgh his first round, he was a very serviceable quarterback. If anything, the Steelers need to focus on getting their line together offensively and defensively and get some type of running back that don't want to be cute like Najee was. And just get back to the basics, man, and let Aaron go to Twilight Zone or wherever he wants to be.
He's already there, Mike. He's already in the Twilight Zone. It's whether you're going to go to the Twilight Zone with him when he's your quarterback.
Well, we're already there because we're entertaining this garbage, and it's just foolishness. It's not anything. It just lets me know, as much as I appreciate what Tomlin has brought to the table, he's at the point of desperation.
Yep.
And anything that he wants to put up with, and it's almost being like what I call a pilgrim mentality. You just settle for the first piece of land that you hit and say, this is our guy.
Wait, but Mike,
that's hilarious.
What would you have done going back? Go back to sort of the late Ben Roethlisberger. Where were they supposed to find this quarterback? If you're never going to be bad, how do you get a quarterback?
Well, the first thing, you held on to Ben 2 years too long.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Ben, we appreciate you. And Ben was getting into it with every offensive coordinator. He wanted to change the identity of the Steeler way. He wanted to throw the ball all over the place. And they accommodated that. And once they did that, you started losing a piece of your identity. This team has been built, while I've been a Steeler fan since 1973, is a blue-collar approach.
Yeah.
This is not a blue-collar approach. This is you want to keep up with the Joneses and be what's trending and fad, and that's what brought those Lombardi trophies to the case.
So, but here's the thing, Mike, and I agree with you, and it's a great call on the Pilgrim thing and the Twilight Zone. Like, you're all over it. But can I give you a little, like, I hate to do this, a little dose of harsh reality here, which is I don't think the Steelers occupy this rarefied air anymore. Yeah, you got the 6 Lombardis. No one's ever taken that away. But when Cam Hayward said the recruiting pitch to Rodgers is either you want to be a Steeler or you don't, I don't think the Steelers are there right now. I think Rodgers, you'd be lucky to have him. And this is the thing about Mason Rudolph. He's fine as a backup, but you're not winning a playoff game with him.
Well, we're not winning a playoff game with any of the...
fair.
Okay. But so at least if I'm going to tank, let me tank with an up-and-coming than a has-been. This is ridiculous.
Well, Mason Rudolph's 30. He's not an up-and-comer anymore.
Well, no, he's an up-and-coming compared to what Aaron Rodgers has done.
If
you compare what Aaron Rodgers has done and the opportunities he's been given, Mason Rudolph has not been given that opportunity.
Well, maybe there's a reason, Mike. Maybe behind the scenes he's not a starter, you know?
Well, behind the scenes he might not be a starter, okay? And they said when they drafted him in the third round, he had first-round attributes. But you get this love affair with Kenny Pickett because you had buyer's remorse because you didn't pick Dan Marino, and then you go back and pick this kid. And this dude showed he was a coward. He quit when competition came in town, and he'd rather go sit behind Hurts. And now he's back in Cleveland. I hope they blitz him to death if he ever plays in Cleveland.
Mike, it's an all-time call. Thank you so much for making it. You and I are going to disagree about where the Steelers are, but you're making a lot of really good points. Can I just point out one thing? Like, you're asking, and you asked a good question, what should the Steelers have done? Like, where could they have been looking for a quarterback? Can I just give you a few of the names of starting quarterbacks in this league who were not top picks? Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, Geno Smith, Derek Carr. You don't have to be picking. I'm not saying these guys, but some of these guys on the list are phenomenal. Lamar's a 2-time MVP. But you don't always, I think it's a cop-out to say, we were never picking in the top 5, so we can never have a franchise quarterback. That's a cop-out. That's letting the front office off the hook.
I think you're naming the 6 guys who were picked after the 25th spot who made it. You're not mentioning the 100 other guys.
They never even took a chance.
They took Mason Rudolph. What's wrong? Mason Rudolph fit that description?
Well, because that's one. By the way, that's one guy who they took in the third round. And Kenny Pickett was a first round pick, but they got blinded by Pickett. I love what Mike said, that they didn't take Dan Marino all those years ago when he was at Pitt. I think they got too comfortable. They saw a guy in their own facility.
I think that's playing Monday morning quarterback, because Kenny Pickett had an incredible year at Pitt. He was obviously a first round, second round prospect. By the way, and the other thing, late career Big Ben, I don't think it was bad, as you and Mike say. They were 2 years before he retired, they were 12-3. And you know, the playoff game he lost against Cleveland, he threw for 500 yards in that game. And you also have to remember, he had Deontay Johnson, who got the yips and cost him about another 1,000 yards. He was not that bad. And I understand they won a ton of games with him at the end.
Okay, Tom Brady wasn't bad when Bill Belichick drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, and Aaron Rodgers wasn't bad when they drafted Jordan Love.
Jimmy Garoppolo and Mason Rudolph were the same exact thing. Well, Garoppolo was second round.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But again, and now Mason Rudolph's 30. Like, we're really saying you're going to battle with Rudolph? I don't know. Or he's going to be 30 this year.
But you have this fantasy to me about look at all the other second round and third round quarterbacks who bombed, most of them.
Don't people say that the smart thing to do is to continue to draft quarterbacks? Like, when Ben Roethlisberger is 34, that's not an insult to him if you're going to start taking quarterbacks now every year.
But, okay, they drafted, Kenny Pickett. They drafted Mason Rudolph. It didn't work. They got the wrong guys. That happens way more often than you think. Yeah, I mean, the
you took two bites at the apple to try to replace a legend. Sometimes it's not that easy.
The Titans drafted Will Levis. How'd that work out?
Terribly.
That is the more common path with a non-first-round quarterback. Most of these guys are not going to hit.
Yeah, but I just gave you some really good names here of guys who are major factors in who will have a say. One just won the Super Bowl in Jalen Hurts. Everyone loves Jordan Love, Lamar,
well, let me ask
Brock
you,
Purdy,
but what
Geno.
Do you, we can have actually our research team. What do you think the hit rate on second-round quarterbacks is?
I feel like there's fewer second-rounders now because guys just like trade up to the end of the first round because they want that fifth-year option. But yeah, it's probably not as bad as it is in the first round. I understand it, but you took two bites at the apple thinking you were finding your next franchise quarterback.
That's, say, if it's 50% in the first round, I think it's 10% in the second round, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's more, but generally it is not that easy to find a late round quarterback. You're making it sound like just draft some guy, and you say the same thing this year. Like, do you really think Quinn Ewers is going to come in and save anyone?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be Ewers. I don't know if it's Tyler Shuck. I don't know if it's going to be somebody. Anyway, Andrew Bogish is here. You're welcome to weigh in, by the way. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. What this comes down to is, how much do you blame the Steelers for finding themselves in this predicament? Perloff thinks they did what they should have done. They did take a couple shots at quarterback. It's not their fault that they find themselves here desperate. I'm not letting them off the hook so easily. Bogues, what you got?
Mm-hmm. Margaret, hopefully the rest of college basketball believes Pearl is wrong and Cooper Flagg isn't actually considering staying in school for a second season.
So a 9-2 Arizona run back within 12, 10-10 to go. Flagg for three. Got it. Cooper Flagg took one step left and launched. What a player. What a night.
Scott Graham from the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Flagg with 30 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 blocks as Duke held off Arizona 193 in the nightcap in Newark. The Blue Devil lead as large as 19, but got cut to 5, largely because of Caleb Love, who scored 15 straight Arizona points in one stretch, finishing with 35. But this game's about Flagg, and here's his head coach, John Shire.
That was one of the best tournament performances I've ever coached or, you know, been a part of. And, like, he just did what you're supposed to do, and he'll move on and get ready for Alabama. And I think that's the beauty of it with him. You know, he doesn't get caught up in all that.
Pearl, your thoughts?
My theory that Cooper Flagg will possibly come back, it means that Duke loses in the tournament, by the way. Mm-hmm. And picture a scenario where they get really close at the end and he comes up just short. I think that could inspire him. Oh, my God, I want to win this thing. Because I think he has tons of money. He's going to make, if he came back next year at Duke, he might get $15 million. So I think that's sort of where the theory is. I think if he comes close and misses out, you know that, that feeling, he might want to finish the job.
The unfinished business feeling?
Yeah, the unfinished, especially because it looks like the way their path lays out, they're not going to see too much. Well, Alabama doesn't play any defense. I mean, he could score 45 in this game. I think that there's a good chance they get into the Final Four, and then, you know, they could definitely lose in the Final Four. If he's right there, I guess the feeling he's going to want to try again.
It's funny, if you're noticing, Perloff's got a theme here. You think that not only Cooper Flagg is going to come back, that Arch Manning.
Shame with Arch. And Arch, if Arch wins the title, I think it's, and this is, NIL is driving a lot of this, because you could get, it's different. You could get a ton of money. If you get, Arch Manning already makes $6 million a year, and he's never started a game.
I know, but if he's the first
overall... Well, I started two games, but...
If he's the first overall pick, that's $20 million landing in your bank account in a day.
Peyton Manning went back, and he didn't even have that NIL money.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm going for here. No, I understand. It is against the grain. But these guys, for some reason, they just look very interested in college sports. It feels like Cooper Flagg wants to win this title really badly.
It just feels like that... It feels like the football thing is more likely than the basketball thing. Like, we just... I was trying to think of a last example. The last guy I could think of was Joakim Noah, who was kind of a shock that he went on this crazy tournament run and kind of took over and was seen as a top three, maybe number one pick, and then came back. But he was a player that wasn't projected to be a Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg was the number one pick in this draft when he was 16 years old.
Right.
Like, we knew he was going to be this guy. So, like, to get to all this point and then say, you know, I'm going to go back to college another year, it just doesn't happen very often.
Well, Armando Bacot, but he wasn't a top pick, but
not an NBA player.
He's not an NBA player.
Right, but it was a bit of a surprise when he went back to North Carolina after he won a title, right? I remember we were...
But it was more because of, like, why would you go back there? Like, just start your professional life. Like, come on, dude. You've been in school for 4 years, 5 years, right? That was a different calculus, no?
Yeah, no, it's different. But I do think that would you guys expect a little, some guys to stay in college hoops? Or
not someone like Flag.
No, right. Like Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper are not going, oh, man, we got to come back and do good for Rutgers next year. They're gone. It's why Rutgers is not playing any postseason tournaments because they're gone.
But they didn't go to a basketball school. They didn't go to a place that has a rich history.
But they got cash.
Yeah, but they went because of the money and whatever, because of Rutgers. I think Cooper Flag went to Duke because of the rich basketball tradition.
But to be honest,
come on. You make fun of me all the time when I say that. We just said recruiting didn't matter. You've told me the rich basketball history.
Cooper Flag did not go for the money. He wanted to go to Duke.
I agree with that.
But is he playing for free?
No, he's getting a ton of money.
He was going to play free
anyway,
though.
You just said that he would come back and make $15 million, and yeah, that's the big part
of it. But it helps. But I do think there's a magic of Duke. I think he wanted to be part of that.
That you literally tell me the magic's gone on all of this.
Not
stuff.
Duke. I said. I said last
Duke.
Week. Remember last week? I said Duke's the only needle mover, and we did a poll.
You did say that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he could have. He could have been. He could have gone wherever Cal is or whatever. He probably had bigger offers. I think Duke is special. You don't go to Duke for the money. You go to Duke for more than that.
Is that what Zion told you?
Yeah, I think Zion too. But yeah, also too, Zion was smart. Duke gets on national TV every night. I could be totally wrong.
Why didn't Zion go back?
You know, Zion was way different than Cooper Flag to me.
Why? He was the number one overall pick. We knew he was going to be the number one overall pick year.
He was a little more injury prone. I don't know. I can't exactly explain it. Nobody ever thought Zion was coming back. I'm the only... Just Cooper Flag just seems to really, really love it. Zion liked Duke, but I never thought that he was part of the tradition of Duke.
Interesting. When you brought up Amano Bacot, that made more sense to me because I think about Drew Timmy, another guy who he was never going to be an NBA star, never going to be a first-round pick. But he kept coming back. He was like, well, I can make a lot of money, more money here probably than I would in the G League, and I can win a national championship. So those guys, I feel like you'll be right. Like maybe a guy who would have just left because, like, why not? Those guys will come back. But I think the number one pick guys, like the top three guys, it just doesn't happen. Marcus Smart was the other recent example where he went back, and that was a little bit of a surprise. But otherwise, it's just rare.
What about the kid we saw last night, DJ Wagner?
Wagner is like a fringe first-round pick.
Right, right, right. I would feel he'd be smart to go back, right? He could probably make more at Arkansas. I actually heard an interesting rumor on the women's game that you get much more money in the college game than the pro.
Well, we know that.
So that is another... People were surprised that Caitlin Clark could have gone back to Iowa, that she took a pay cut to be in the WNBA. Possible. Yeah, because you get more eyeballs on the women's tournament than the WNBA.
No, the women are definitely making more money in college, but Caitlin's endorsements are going to offset that.
Yeah, but
she'll get just as many, if not more, in the pros than she will in college.
I kind of wonder if she's almost like a Travis Hunter, where is she even taken from Iowa's collective?
Yeah, she might have just had Nike State
Travis
Farm.
Hunter was giving his money to like the Colorado collective, famously. Right. Like I feel like her money's coming from Gatorade.
Yeah, I saw a report that she could have made $20 million this year at Iowa, and I don't think she's made quite that much in the WNBA.
No, they have a salary cap.
Yeah, no, I mean, even
rookie
with all her endorsements, I think she could have even made more endorsement money if she'd stayed at Iowa. But for 1 year, then eventually she has to go. But that's just listen, I could be totally wrong. Cooper Flag could declare the day after the draft. I just have this little hunch that maybe he wants to win a title.
Hopefully it's not the day after the draft.
Yeah,
that would be late.
Day after that.
It'd be like Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Here for the draft. It's like, that happened yesterday, buddy. You're a wizard.
Maybe.
You took another O-line.
Do they have a day two in the NBA draft?
They do now.
They do, yeah. Ronnie,
it's awful.
Remember?
I hate it. Adam Silver, man, that guy.
We should talk about him because I saw a lot yesterday that Adam Silver should get involved with LeBron James, Stephen A. Smith spat.
Me, I'm people.
You said that. We'll get to that in a minute, but thank you.
I thought you were going to talk about his stupid all-star game theory that he just gave up on after one time.
Oh, he abandoned ship on that. He's like, sorry about that all-star format. My bad. It sucked.
Will?
Okay, we'll get into Stephen A. and LeBron because there's still a lot of fallout from that interview that LeBron did with Pat McAfee, and Stephen A. went back at him. I think that Stephen A. looked bad. Perloff doesn't think he looked bad. We'll do that next.
Who was on crack?
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, so there's more fallout from the LeBron James Pat McAfee interview where he said a lot of things. It was a very wide-ranging interview. He talked about Bronny, talked about Michael Jordan, and he talked about his media beefs. with Stephen A. Smith,
mm-hmm.
and I guess a beef with Brian Windhorst that we really didn't mm-hmm. know about. So, of course, Stephen A. has got to respond because this is how the game works now, guys. So here is Stephen A. Smith on First Take, or Stephen A. Smith Show, whatever, saying LeBron James is a liar.
Because there's one person in this ordeal that's telling the truth, and it's me. I don't lie to y'all. His ass lies a lot.
Okay, well, to be fair,
and there's a lot of shady stuff that he does.
More.
And one of the things is his passive aggressiveness.
A lot of pregnant pauses.
And okay. the two-facedness and smile in your face and dig you in behind the back.
One more.
I happen to know that about him, which is why I don't like
him. Ooh. I had not heard that.
I had not heard that because wow. Stephen A. has always said, I like him. But obviously, you know, stuff went down where what? Stephen A. called out LeBron for Bronny. Said, as a father, you got to get Bronny off out of the league. He's embarrassing himself. Everyone's laughing at him. And then LeBron confronted Stephen A. at the in L.A. So maybe they don't like each other now.
Yeah, I did not know that he came out and I sensed that he did not like LeBron, but I hadn't heard him
say
that.
What gave you an indication of that?
Now, was that on his podcast? Did he say that on ESPN's airwaves?
That was on the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Yeah, because I don't think he would say that on ESPN. ESPN's an NBA partner. He's much more. He has these. Yeah, remember his podcast difference? With Odyssey? He would say crazy things that very, very honest.
This is that podcast, I believe.
Yeah. Pal Tom Izzo works on it. The other Tom Izzo.
Yeah.
We talk about women and stuff on that podcast. He would not have said that directly on ESPN, but it's very clear to be true.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the one thing that Stephen A. kept clapping back at LeBron is like, you know, LeBron would say things about Stephen A. and Stephen A. would say, well, I think you're the second best player of all time. Like, it was just a very, I don't know, the criticisms were almost like they're missing the mark on each other, right?
Which is why I don't like.
Here's more Stephen A. on LeBron. Okay, so now Stephen A. is saying LeBron's not the guy you think he is. He's two-faced. He will smile to your face and stab you in the back.
Really?
And I'm the only one who's telling you the truth. I'm telling you, like, this is the oldest trick in the book. Media people saying, I'm the only one who tells you the truth. Only I can tell you the truth. It's media, politics, everything. Anyway, you decide for yourself. Here's Stephen A. on his reasons why LeBron is two-faced.
I suggest that he be happy with the things that I haven't brought up. I never brought up really and never really discussed why you were not at Kobe Bryant's memorial service. I never really brought up or discussed why you did not attend Dwayne Wade's Hall of Fame induction when that man was directly responsible for you capturing a championship for the first time in your career. I brought up none of that.
Until now. Okay, so Stephen A. was really kind of...
I am having a very bad day!
Well, he was, because he kind of showed his rear end here, if you will.
I am in no mood!
LeBron was at Kobe's memorial service. And that is a big one to get wrong.
Oh, come on. It is not.
Yes, it is,
Oh, come on. This is Stephen A. This guy, remember the Hunter Henry thing? It's all in the delivery for Stephen A. Nobody cares about the facts. And even these facts are kind of lame, but that was still quite entertaining.
But this one should matter.
Why does
you
that
can't
matter?
Say
Why
a guy wasn't at a memorial service when we all saw him there crying? Mm. That's different than saying he thought Hunter Henry was still in the Chargers, whatever that stupid thing
was. Yes, it's less important than actually previewing a football game that we're all betting on. Who cares? I understand what you're saying, but this is not some state secret he revealed. The whole thing is so farcical. I mean, who cares? I mean, who cares if he made a mistake?
Oh, I think this is a mistake you can't make, because Stephen A. had a lot of time to think about what he wanted to say, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that he either didn't prep or didn't double check that LeBron was at Kobe, that's very personal. You're basically saying you're pretending to be broken up about Kobe, but you couldn't even be at his memorial service. It's just not true. I think that is a mistake unlike other mistakes. The Wade Hall of Fame thing, too, was presented without context. Wade gets into the Hall of Fame. That induction ceremony is August. Bronny had a cardiac arrest in July. I mean, it's the guy's kid. Like, it can be explained why LeBron may have missed that Hall of Fame induction. To go from L.A. to Springfield, Massachusetts, maybe you can't go when your kid just went through a harrowing near-death experience.
Yeah, but I mean, how can you take this entire Stephen A. rant seriously. He's like, I didn't bring up. And then he proceeds to bring things up. He's immediately entering comedy territory. I mean, it was so petty and ridiculous.
But I don't think he's doing this with a twinkle in his eye. That was meant to be cutting.
But we're all viewing Stephen A. with a twinkle in our eye because we know the Stephen A. act. It's an act. It's entertainment. Walter Cronkite.
There you go.
Yeah. So here's the thing, though. Do you
Ed Murrow?
Same grace to LeBron then? Do you think he's also acting here?
No, I think LeBron has already started to laugh. That video he put out of Stephen A. boxing, LeBron sees the humor in this. He definitely does. And I think on McAfee, he was kind of like just a bunch of guys sitting around laughing at how stupid these opponents are.
Really?
You don't think LeBron's laughing at Stephen A right now?
No, I think the LeBron is. I don't think Stephen A is. And I see this happen sometimes with people in media when they get really big and they get a lot of money and they get really important, like in our world, in our neck of the woods. And Stephen A has got very important.
The king of the top of the hill right now.
Well, there was some polling that he could like be the Democratic Party. Who knows? Guys stop being able to laugh at themselves. And they can't find the funny anymore because they feel like they've got too much to lose. And I think this is happening with Stephen A. He's taking himself way too seriously right now.
Yeah, it's hysterical.
It's not fun, but he's not. It's not funny anymore.
It's so funny. And by the way, you're doing windy hands.
You're doing windy fingers. Got sideswiped in this whole thing.
You don't want to make an enemy out of me.